From the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building in Detroit's News Center, this is Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and IBEW Local 58.
Good evening. On tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future, we'll spend some time hearing about senior living making a positive impact on the region's economy. For example, you'll learn about a $30 million senior living development scheduled to break ground later this year near Detroit's East Riverfront. The project will not only keep the residents living in their neighborhoods, but it'll also bring new construction and health care jobs to the city. Tonight, we will speak with Roger Myers, President and CEO of Presbyterian Villages of Michigan, and John Thorhauer, CEO of United Methodist Retirement Communities, who are partnering on the project. Stay tuned for WJR's Powering Michigan's Future, only on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and IBEW Local 58.
For Mike Feezy, here's Ken Rogulski.
Welcome to WJR's Powering Michigan Future. We'll kick off the show tonight with Roger Myers, President and CEO of Presbyterian Villages of Michigan, and John Thorhauer, the CEO of United Methodist Retirement Communities. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you, Ken. Glad to be here.
Well, good to have you here. Roger, it's great news to hear about the project breaking ground later this year just down the block from us. Tell us about the plans for the senior living project on the riverfront.
Yes, Ken, we're very excited about this development and happy to be sharing it with your listeners tonight. The development involves over $30 million of new investment in Detroit's East Jefferson neighborhood, and it includes several different components, one being senior health and wellness services, affordable assisted living, which John's going to talk a little bit more in a minute. We expect to serve over 750 seniors when the project is all said and done. We'll employ over 300 staff members, and it's going to be a great addition to the city.
Now, where's it going to be located? Between someplace between the Rensen and Belle Isle?
Right next to Stroh River Place, east of the Stroh River Place by the UAW General Motors Training Center.
And you're ready to break ground pretty soon?
By the end of the year.
All right. Before the snow flies.
Hopefully before the snow flies.
John, tell us about your role in the organization and the part you'll be playing in this development partnership.
Our role will be involved in the affordable assisted living. We're one of just five organizations in the state of Michigan approved to pioneer affordable assisted living, and the only one approved for this pilot program in the city of Detroit.
Now, this will be in the same general areas, right down on the Detroit's East Riverfront?
This will be in the same building.
Same building?
Yes.
Now,
why
in this particular part of town?
In this particular part of town, we selected primarily due to the population.
Population of the general area that these folks will be coming from?
The population of underserved seniors in this community.
So will all of these folks who will be living in your projects, will they be coming from just the east side of Detroit or from the west side as well?
Well, generally they'll be coming from the immediate vicinity, but they will likely also come from other parts of the city because affordable assisted living is a service that's not currently available. In fact, there's currently not any assisted living at any price in the city of Detroit.
So will it be... How many residents will you be serving in this project to begin with?
We'll serve about 80 residents in the affordable assisted living.
All right. Now, the economic impact of this project has to be pretty good.
It's very strong, and maybe I'll let Roger speak to that briefly.
Roger?
Sure. Yeah, it is a significant economic impact. The construction alone will add about $46 million to the economy with 360 construction-related jobs. The operations will be about $22 million a year with another 277 jobs. And over the next 10 years, this will add over $200 million to the local economy and over 600 additional jobs. So it's a very significant development.
And it comes at a time when we greatly need it,
desperately needed.
And so it's all going to start groundbreaking this fall?
About before the end of the year.
Right before the end of the year. And when was the first time that somebody can come in and start calling this their home?
John, you want to respond to that?
That will be in the fall of next year.
Oh, it's a short turnaround time, just about a year?
It is. We're actually repurposing an existing building.
Are we facing a problem, a big need from where you see with all the baby boomers coming of age, too, getting a little older every day?
Sure, Ken. There is a huge demand for this service, but in the city of Detroit, actually, this population is expected to grow almost double by 2035.
Double. So is there another project on your drawing board somewhere down the line, guys?
Yeah, the demand for what we do is increasing dramatically. As John indicated, with the baby boomers and with the population expanding, it's actually the only segment of the region's population that's growing over the next 20, 30 years. And so the demands for what United Methodist Retirement Communities and Presbyterian Villages of Michigan are engaged in with our missions is increasing dramatically.
So is this going to be like a single-story building, a multi-story building, or what?
It's a four-story building. John, you want to speak to the details?
Sure. Actually, as Roger mentioned previously, this community, when it's completely built out, will actually serve about 750 Detroit seniors.
750.
And it is multi-story, and we'll actually have a number of services for seniors on the lower level. And on the upper levels, the upper four floors will have apartments. Affordable assisted living is actually comprised of apartments, one- and two-bedroom apartments, with home care services brought into them. The community delivered and paid for through Medicaid.
So basically, you're next to the riverfront. The guests, the residents, can basically walk down to the riverfront, take a walk up and down the riverfront sidewalks there?
They can. In fact, that was one of the reasons we selected this site. The river, as you know, the Riverwalk is a beautiful area. We have the DeQuinter Cut that just opened. There's a number of amenities in the community that made this an attractive site.
So when you say assisted living, what does that mean exactly?
Assisted living, in this case, affordable assisted living, is actually housing with services. But these services are paid for through Medicaid. So Medicaid actually pays for home care providers to come in and provide service in the individual apartments. And in this particular case, it's affordable housing. For instance, somebody could live in the affordable assisted living and receive health care services for a total of about $500 a month.
That's all?
That's it.
$500 a month. That's out of pocket.
For an apartment and services.
Wow. Well, now, some of the services involved include what?
Really, assistance with activities of daily living. These are things like bathing and dressing, medication, which is actually very common, medication administration, assistance to make sure that they take their medication at the proper times, make sure they get proper nutrition, things along those lines.
Now, entertainment's got to play a big part of this. How do you keep a person's day filled all day long?
Absolutely. We have a program coordinator that actually helps with both programming with inside of the community, but also to allow the residents to be able to travel and take advantage of programs outside the affordable assisted living.
And so basically, by this time next year, you'll be ready to start welcoming some folks in, Roger.
Yes, with certainly the first component, the affordable assisted living. And that is an important piece, but it is a piece of this larger development that has a community cafe, the potential of a nursing home, additional independent living that will be built, along with this adult day center and wellness center. So there's five or six different facets to the overall development, and they all are integrated and really combined to create a very rich quality of life for the 750 people that will be served there.
So how'd you come up with an idea like this?
Well, it's been long in coming, and actually John and I probably for at least 4 or 5 years have been dreaming this, and once we identified the location and the tremendous concentration of seniors along this East Jefferson corridor and began to receive a lot of support from other organizations, it all came together, and I think the collaboration between our two organizations, along with some others in the community, have made this a real formula for success, and we know the demand is just only increasing.
How did you two bump into each other to come up with an idea like this? It's kind of unusual.
Well, both United Methodist Retirement Communities and Presbyterian Villages of Michigan are two of the leading nonprofit faith-based senior living organizations in the state, and we have worked together as peers over the years, and as we began talking about the commitment, the further commitment to the city of Detroit, it was really a natural that these two organizations would partner to create what we're about ready to break ground on.
So what was the most fun part of putting this whole project together for the both of you?
I would say actually working with Roger and his staff.
And Roger?
I think really linking the heritage and the traditions and the strengths of both of these organizations that have combined almost 170 years of experience really has made this very rewarding. When you look at the values and the missions and the visions and of the organizations, they are very similar, and I think it really ensures our success by working together.
But you came up with an idea, you put it on paper, and now all of a sudden your dream is going to be popping up out of the ground in front of you. That's got to be a very fulfilling type of project to work on.
Absolutely. As a leader of a nonprofit organization, we really share an overwhelming consensus in the community that nonprofits need to work together for the good of the region.
And so just about a year from now, you'll be cutting the ribbon and popping the champagne?
We'll do a groundbreaking first, but then we'll cut the ribbon.
We'll cut the ribbon. There you go. There you have it. Stay tuned to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future, only on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
Once again, here's Ken Rogolski.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Tonight we're learning about a $30 million senior living development scheduled to break ground later this year in Detroit with Roger Myers, President and CEO of Presbyterian Villages of Michigan, and John Thorauer, CEO of United Methodist Retirement Communities. Roger, Presbyterian Villages of Michigan has developed senior living houses not only in Detroit, but elsewhere too, over $67 million in a big project. Tell us a little more about some of the other projects your organization's working on.
Presbyterian Villages of Michigan, we're celebrating our 65th anniversary this year, and we are a statewide organization. We were founded just here in Retford Township, but we now have communities as far north as Harbor Springs and Alpena, over to Port Huron, and we're building right now in Kalamazoo. So we have 25 different locations. Specifically with regard to the city of Detroit, we have already built six villages starting in 1997. In the city, and those villages have combined for $117 million of economic impact in the city and have created over 1,200 jobs, sustainable jobs, since the mid-90s. So our commitment to Detroit is built on this track record, and this East Jefferson development that we're talking about tonight is going to be the largest that we've ever undertaken in the city, and actually anywhere else in the state. And so we're real pleased to be doing that.
Even bigger than what you're planning for Kalamazoo and Harbor Springs?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, the East Jefferson Project is by far and away the largest development that we've undertaken.
Now, give us a brief example of what the building would look like, some of the individual units. Is it just a room, or is it just more than just that?
It's really a full apartment. And, John, maybe you can speak to the design of the affordable assisted living.
Absolutely, Roger. The affordable assisted living, again, it is a full apartment with a full kitchen, living room, bedroom, bathroom. Unlike a traditional assisted living facility, which is really a room and a bath, or in some situations a shared bath, we're talking about full apartments. We're talking about non-institutional living.
So did I read this correctly, that there's even a rooftop garden top on one of these projects?
That's correct. Actually, our dining will be on top of the roof, and it will overlook the Detroit River.
Oh, wow. Spectacular. And assisted living is, many people don't really have a good idea of what it's like. Roger, walk us through something like that.
The idea is to provide a broad array of personal services that meet the individual needs of each resident. So no two residents will be the same in terms of what they need. And the goal of the program is to really address each resident's needs based on their individual circumstances. And as John indicated earlier, that could involve bathing, it may involve dressing, it could be assistance with meals, just a whole array of services. We should keep in mind that many of the people that are going to be living in the affordable assisted living would otherwise be living in a nursing home. They would be living in a semi-private nursing home room, or maybe even in a ward with one or three other people in a very institutional environment. This is the exact opposite of that kind of setting.
I mean, from some of the things I'm reading here, this is the complete opposite of institutional living. Exercise facilities, computers, rooftop dining, just to name a few.
Exactly.
Now, you've got a third component planned for another building, 40 units of independent housing living for seniors, too?
Yes, we are planning to apply for financing through the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development for 40 to 50 apartments, independent apartments that would be similar to what John described, one-bedroom apartments, and these would be provided with subsidized rents for people who would be from the immediate community and would be able to take advantage of all of the amenities and the services that will be provided on this campus.
John, tell us about what United Methodist Retirement Communities is doing.
Well, Ken, we've been around 100 years in Michigan, and we've been serving the city of Detroit for about 40 of those years. And so we're doing a number of things around the state. Again, like Roger stated, this is a big project for us. It's a huge step in the right direction.
It's the biggest project, right?
Absolutely. And it's really creating affordable services. And one of the things that most of Southeast Michigan lacks is truly affordable options for seniors. So we're creating a community that offers a number of service levels and keeps them affordable. In addition to that, United Methodist Retirement Communities is currently working on a $22 million project in the community of Dexter, and that is independent living with a clubhouse.
So what do you need to qualify to become a member of your project?
To live in the affordable assisted living, you basically need to be 55 and over. I think that's the minimum age, and have certain health care needs and meet certain income requirements as well.
So how do you sign up to become a prospective member? Do you have to go to a website? Do you come down in person?
We will be, and actually United Methodist Retirement Communities is going to be handling the management of that particular area. And so, John, you may want to share what the anticipated approach is going to be for that.
Absolutely. The best way is actually to go to our website at www.umrc.com. And our contact information is on the website. You can also inquire there, or you can call us at 734-433-1000.
Now, on the website, is there a picture or a rough schematic of how the final rooms will look?
There currently is not. Actually, we're just finishing up the design work, and so as soon as that's available, we'll have that out.
John, your project has got to be a revitalization, a shot in the arm for Detroit's neighborhoods, too.
What we have found, Ken, is that in each of our developments in the city, and again, there have been six up to now, those developments have served as catalysts for the redevelopment and revitalization of the neighborhoods immediately around. So in Virginia Park, in Woodbridge, with Focus Hope, every location, it has spurred other growth and development. And so we've really not only met the needs of seniors, but we've helped with other developments around the community. And we expect this is going to happen in the East Jefferson neighborhood as well, in a pretty significant way.
I mean, you're going to leave the place better than when you found it in most areas that you've been in.
Absolutely. Well, in every area. There's no question about it. In fact, we would invite your listeners to visit any of our communities, not just in Detroit, but anywhere around the state. And I think they would witness that firsthand to see what impact we've made on the quality of life, not only for the people who live there, but for the people who are in the surrounding neighborhoods.
John, you guys have been in business since what?
He goes back to the 1800s.
1800s. You look good, though, for the 1800s, though. But in all the years you've been in business, how many people do you think you've served in the most recent history?
Well, right now, Presbyterian Villages of Michigan, we serve about 3,500 seniors. About 2,500 live in our different communities around the state, 25 different communities, and another 1,000 that come into our communities for different services. They may come in for meals, they may come in for wellness programs, a variety of other services. So about 3,500 seniors that we serve statewide.
The social aspects, too, has to be pretty big.
It's a very big area, absolutely.
Right. Now, the website again, please?
For Presbyterian Villages of Michigan, it's pvm.org.
Once again, pvm.org. And, John, your website?
United Methodist Retirement Communities is www.umrc.com.
And Roger, the phone number to find out more.
You can call us at 248 248-281-2022.
Once again,
248-281-2022.
And John, your phone number?
734-433-1000.
Once again,
734-433-1000.
So, John, tell us about the United Methodist Retiring Communities. What's the latest?
The latest is we're going to continue to evolve our options for Michigan seniors as we have for more than 100 years. We're going to look for continuous innovation such as the affordable assisted living, and we're going to look for partners like PVM that make sense.
Thanks, John. Roger, thank you very much. Stick around. We'll have more. And stay tuned for more Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Tonight we're learning about a $30 million senior living development scheduled to break ground later this year in Detroit with Roger Myers, President and CEO of Presbyterian Villages of Michigan, and John Thorauer, CEO of United Methodist Retirement Communities. Gentlemen, great to have you back.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Let's spend a couple of moments on the aspect of job creations on the East Jefferson Project. What type of jobs do you expect to create with a development of this type over time?
Yes, Ken. We all know how important jobs are to the city, the region, and the state. And what's particularly exciting about this development is these jobs are sustainable. They're what people refer to as kind of new economy, healthcare related. And so the types of positions we're talking about would be everything from direct caregivers, so resident assistants, to nurses, to therapists, whether that's occupational, physical therapy, speech therapy. A wide range of positions, people that are involved in transporting elders, activities, individuals, and certainly office and support staff as well. So a wide number of positions, and this is not even speaking of the construction jobs, because as was mentioned earlier, there's over 300 construction jobs that will be created to really build out the project, and then over 250 jobs that will be ongoing as the project moves ahead.
What kind of positions will they be, those 250 jobs that will be ongoing? Is it a maintenance type of position?
There will be some maintenance positions, not a lot, but mostly in the area of healthcare, personal support, nursing, a variety of those types of positions.
Well, healthcare is still booming in our area, more so than most of the other economies right now. John, what's next on the horizon for both of your organizations? Roger, we'll go to John first, and then we'll come to you. What's on the horizon for you guys?
Well, we want to continue to work to develop programs such as this East Jefferson Neighborhood Project. We believe this can be a model for services around the state. And, as you know, we believe that this is a very important project, given that the population of the area is going to more than double by 2035.
So, and Roger, what's the on the horizon next for you guys?
Well, we've got quite a long list, and I'll just cover touch on a couple of them.
No, take your time.
Yeah, we agree with what John just said about the replication of this East Jefferson development. We believe that it's a great model, and for the right communities around the state that we could continue to develop that. So we're excited about that. We're also looking to reinvest in the expansion and the renovations of our existing villages. Some of those villages are now 60 to 65 years old, and so we need to reinvest and recommit to those. The area of what's called home and community-based services, basically for people that choose to stay in their own homes or their own condominiums, wherever they may call home, we believe that is a growing need, and we're committed to trying to figure out how that we might be able to support that growing demand. So home and community-based services is very important, as is continuing to invest in the city of Detroit. This population, the aging population in the city, is only growing, and the options that seniors have in the city really are sadly quite limited. So we intend to continue to invest in the city of Detroit. Last thing I would mention is health reform, healthcare reform, obviously a very hot topic, a lot being discussed about it. We believe there is a role for organizations like Presbyterian Villages and United Methodist Retirement Communities to play a very key role in how seniors are served in this kind of whole new age of health reform.
So instead of building just big projects, too, you might be able to go into somebody's house to help keep them going and keep their meds flowing and keep everything going as far as their life is concerned, too.
That's definitely the case. In fact, there's certainly a greater demand and an opportunity for growth in that arena than in building bricks and mortar. Bricks and mortar are important. But what you just said about serving people in their own homes, we believe, is where there's even a greater need.
John and Roger, both of you, I'll ask this question to John first. Is there more of a growth that you see in assisted living or more of a growth for assisting somebody in their current home?
You know, there's actually a need for both. There's certainly, based on the demographics, the changing demographics in Michigan, there certainly is a need for both a residential-based assisted living, which is really what we're working to develop here.
Which one is growing faster, though, home-based or assisted living?
I would say certainly more people are choosing to stay in their homes. And frankly, we believe more people will also choose residential-based assisted living, which is what affordable assisted living is, not the traditional institutional-based assisted living.
And Roger, from your standpoint, what's growing faster, assisted living or keeping people in their own homes and helping out there?
I agree with what John just said. I think that, they're both important, but the need and the options for people in the home setting is going to be greater. I think it's important that we recognize the opportunity that exists for the state of Michigan in terms of retaining the seniors that we already have. People that have invested their lifetimes in the state or in the Detroit region that have really built the foundation that we have today and the asset that they represent for all of us, as opposed to basically saying to the seniors, have a good life in Florida or Arizona.
Yeah, adios.
We need to retain those individuals here. They bring so much wisdom and wealth and assets to our communities, and they really are part of powering Michigan's future.
I think a lot of people, too, when they get older, that they grew up in an area, they worked in an area, and they just want to stay here because they're comfortable here. They know it here. They're at home here. And if you have projects like this going up, it's going to give them another reason to stick around.
That's right. That's certainly part of our goal here. The issue of what's called out-migration of seniors from the state is one that has a serious economic consequence, and we need to begin to reverse that out-migration that, as that occurs, takes a lot of resources away from the state, and we need to actually compete very aggressively with our states to the south to keep seniors here in Michigan.
And your projects are doing just that.
Exactly.
Let's hope they stick around for a long time to come. John, Roger, thank you very much. Stay tuned for more of Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
Once again, for Mike Feezy, here's your host, Ken Rogulski.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. We'll be wrapping up this edition with a very special focus on a fundraiser for the Great Lakes Council of the Boy Scouts of America called Building Connections, which is just one way the construction trade supports scouting in our area. We welcome Ryan Maybach of Barton Mallow, Preston Wallace of the Limbaugh Companies, Kevin Kohler of the Construction Association of Michigan, Jerry Freiberg with the Great Lakes Council of the Boy Scouts of America, and Sean Crump, business agent with IBEW Local 58, one of the sponsors of our show. Welcome, gentlemen. Ryan, first, let's start with you and your company, Barton Mallow, one of the leading construction companies, not only in Detroit, but in the country. Tell us about the Building Connections event, and how'd you get involved in this thing?
Well, hey, Ken, our industry is pretty special in a lot of ways. It's very tied in with the community and does a lot for the community. And the Building Connections event is a great example of that. It's an opportunity for the industry to get together, to come together and support a great cause in the Boy Scouts. Barton Mallow is just one of the many, many partners that make this event so successful. And professionals from general contractors, subcontractors, developers, architects, engineers, designers, pretty much anyone that has an opportunity to be involved in our industry pulls together and raises money and has the opportunity to get together and interact.
So how'd you get involved with the Boy Scouts?
Well, I think the Boy Scouts and the industry have had a pretty long history, and this event has, I wish I could give you the specific history.
But guys, usually boys love to build things. They love to get in the dirt, and I just wonder if that was the connection.
I think it's a pretty good point of connection and opportunity. The Boy Scouts do so much in raising model young men for our society, and again, it's the type of individuals that we're looking for to bring into our industry, and it's a great opportunity for the industry to help support an organization that helps to develop those individuals again that we're looking for in our industry.
Very good. Preston, tell us about the Limbaugh Company, how they get involved. Where and when is this event going to be held this year?
Well, gladly, Ken. As Limbaugh Company enters our 110th year in business, we're very proud to work with our partners in the construction industry of Michigan in supporting the mission for Boy Scouts in this, the 100th anniversary for the Boy Scouts of America. And this year's sixth annual Building Connections event is going to be held at the Walter P. Chrysler Museum in Auburn Hills on September the 23rd. That's a Thursday evening from 5 o'clock in the evening till 8 o'clock. It's a great networking event for the construction industry, as Ryan was saying, and we're really encouraging all of our peers in the construction industry to support Boy Scouts and join us in this really great event.
So was 100 sort of like the magical number for you to come together? Boy Scouts have been around for 110 years. Your company's been around for 100 years. Was there a kind of a synergy there maybe?
Well, I don't know, just more of a coincidence really, but you know, the Boy Scouts is celebrating their 100th anniversary this year, and the Building Connections started actually 6 years ago. And there was a predecessor event to this event for a number of years prior to that, raising funds and helping scouting in our local community.
Have the Boy Scouts become more interested in building after they've been around you guys?
Well, we certainly hope so. You know, what we're really about is helping to support Boy Scouts build young people who are our future. And if that involves the construction industry, then our industry, I'm sure, can benefit from that involvement.
I think one of the big problems young people have today, even in our generation, was, what am I going to be when I grow up? How do I know what I want to do? What do I love? And then all of a sudden they get outside, they see what a construction project's like, and they say, wow, this might be a cool way to have a job. And, you know, you guys are exposing them to that. So we hope it continues.
Absolutely.
Kevin, the Construction Association of Michigan celebrates its 125th anniversary this year. Why has it been important for you and your organization to support scouting?
Well, Ken, it seems like we're celebrating a lot of anniversaries here. Limbaugh's been around for 110 years. The Boy Scouts, 100 years. And CAM has been around now for 125 years. And since our inception in 1885, part of the mission of the Construction Association of Michigan has been to foster growth in Michigan's construction industry and encourage networking between our members and their publics. So naturally, when the Detroit Area Boy Scouts approached us about 6 years ago on partnering for the Building Connections event, we thought it would be a perfect networking event and a perfect fit with our industry.
So networking with the actual scouts themselves?
Not so much the scouts themselves, but networking with the construction industry to support scouting. Now, we do have some scouts that are honored at this event that come out and make some speeches and talk to the industry in general. But really, it's just to support scouting in the Great Lakes area.
And this is your first year involved in this type of?
This is our sixth year involved.
Sixth year.
This is the sixth annual.
This has to be rewarding, though, to see a bunch of young people building their lives and supporting their country, and you guys get to play a part in it, too.
Absolutely. You know, the foundation that scouting lays for a lot of these young adults really fosters to making them successful later on in life. And you'd be surprised, but maybe you wouldn't be surprised, but a lot of these successful people in Michigan's construction industry were once scouts.
There was an amazing list of scouts. Anybody in this room, Boy Scout? One, two, three hands, four hands, see? So it works.
That's right.
It works. Sean Crump, Local 58, and your NECA contractors sponsor our show. Why do you guys support scouting like this?
Well, we believe that the values instilled through programs like scouting are wonderful for the youth of our region overall. You know, but there are also some of the same qualities that we look for in young men who may be interested, men and women, who may be interested in coming into our apprenticeship programs. You know, the values are really the same. You know, a lot of people know about the exploring program for police officers, but there's actually an exploring program for construction. And we have sponsored dates at our school where people had a chance to come out and explore our trade. Many of the other construction trades apprenticeship programs have hosted these events where young men and ladies can come in and see if they really want to do, you know, what we do.
So
get a chance to experience construction.
When the young ladies come out, what do you show them?
Well, we have many rooms that we can use to show them the different aspects of our training. We have hands-on training sessions and activities that we do with them. We show them our various labs, from motor controls to conduit bending to welding and everything in between, to give them an opportunity to actually see what we do. We have renewable energy training. We actually have a roof that's set up to install solar panels, so they get a chance to go there.
Wow.
And see things and touch materials and kind of learn a little bit about what we do. And it gives them an opportunity to see if this is something that they would like to do in the future.
Sean, none of this stuff was around when we were kids.
Yeah, things are changing quickly.
They're changing very fast. Jerry Freiberg is with us tonight. He's with the Great Lakes Council. These guys love you. How important is it, Jerry, to send you and your guys scouting around the area?
Well, the economic challenges faced by families here in southeastern Michigan is no secret. And the funds that are raised from this event help ensure that all boys have the opportunity to be a Boy Scout. We have over 15,000 volunteers that make the program go here in this three-county area. The funds help supply the training that they need to be able to do their job and a variety of the materials that they need. The funds are also used to operate our four camps. We have four wonderful camping opportunities for boys and girls, and a variety of the programs to go and take advantage of.
And girls are allowed to.
Yeah, so when you think of scouting, typically you think of
Boy Scouts
helping a little old lady across the street. And the Cub Scout program and the Boy Scout program are boys, but the Venturing program is a co-ed program, not as well known as the core program of the Boy Scouts, but a lot of girls take advantage of that program.
Ladies, take a listen and jot this down. Jerry, what are some of the priorities for the Great Lakes Council for this coming year?
When you think of scouting's 100th anniversary, that's for the entire Boy Scouts of America, but scouting started right here in Detroit 100 years ago as well. So not only are we celebrating the 100th anniversary of scouting nationwide, but we're celebrating the 100th anniversary right here in Detroit. And over that history, we've had two Boy Scout councils across the three-county area. Well, just very recently, we merged those two Boy Scout councils to form one to give us more efficiency and a better job of serving the boys. And so our priorities over this year, we'd like to develop great leaders. We'd like to provide great programming opportunity for kids. And we'd like to provide great support for our volunteers.
Now, how can folks participate or purchase tickets for the Building Conventions event?
Well, there's a variety of different sponsorship levels available based on what the economic position of your company is and depending on the goals of your company. And if you give us a call either at CAM or the Boy Scout office, we'd be more than happy to match a sponsorship level to your company's goals.
And what's that telephone number?
That's 313-361-4228.
Once again,
313-361-4228.
4228. Good. Sean, a quick second. Have you and IBNW and NECA supported scouting before?
Yes, we have. IBW and NECA have supported scouting in our area for decades. In fact, one of our contractors, Clyde Jones of Centerline Electric, donates electrical work and secures donations of fixtures for a work day each year at the DBRA Boy Scout Camp in Metamora. It's important that we give back financially, but it's also an example of through our actions of to the community to support scouting.
Very good. Jerry, a friend of mine the other day from Colorado sent me a picture. He's a rail fan. And evidently, there's a Union Pacific engine running around in the western United States with the 100-year logo of the Boy Scouts on it. It's painted all over the engine. So you're getting a lot of exposure in the western part of the United States about your 100-year anniversary.
You know, we have over 300 Boy Scout councils across the United States. Every council is doing a celebration. So there's a lot of opportunity. We originated out of here, an RV that traveled to all 50 states over the last 12 months, visited every Boy Scout council, presented a gift to every local Boy Scout council, and as a way of also promoting this. It's just a great way for us to reach out. We're involved in the community in a variety of ways, and service certainly is one of those. When you think of, and the Scouting for Food Project is one that we've been doing for about 17 years. We collect annually in the fall about 450 tons of food, We do that in partnership with Gleaners to help
tons?
Provide food to the hungry. 450 tons of food.
Wow. Mm-hmm. To be redistributed again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, how does one get a ticket?
You can go online at www.glcscouting.org. That's Great Lakes Council Scouting.org. And you can order your tickets that way, or you can give us a call again on our phone, 313-361-4228.
September 23rd is the date at the Walter P. Chrysler Museum. We'll kick everything off at 5 o'clock. Tickets can be purchased by going online at www.glcscouting.org or by calling 313-361-4228, 313-361-4228. We hope anyone interested in supporting scouting and networking with a large number of construction professionals join us for a great night. Thank you, gentlemen. This has been Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.